Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by Coach Brian Irwin for Monday's edition of Lunch with the Coach. Brian, a former two-time state championship head coach at Lamarck High School, also was a student assistant at Texas, GA in the college ranks, and elsewhere, several head coaching stops around the state of Texas. Every Monday, we come to you with Lunch with the Coach, talking about the previous week's games. Brian, just first off, what did you think of the game on Saturday?
Thought it was outstanding. You know, we responded. My first thought that I want to communicate is, hey, Texas fight. That's what we're looking for. You know, our kids played hard. They showed that Texas fight. They fought. They responded to the adversity we faced, you know, the previous week. They answered a lot of the questions and calmed some of the fears that maybe a lot of us had. They just got out there and they fought, they played hard, they flew around, and it was fun to watch.
Gotcha. I want to get to talk to you about each of the positions, your overall thoughts on the offense and the defense as well. First, I want to thank our sponsor, Laura Baker. Lunch with the Coach is brought to you by Laura Baker, Austin Realtor extraordinaire. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs, whether you're moving to Austin or moving within Austin. Laura is the person you want to go to. Not only is she a diehard Longhorn fan, but she's an longtime Austin real estate expert. Contact her at laura@andyallenteam.com. Brian, you mentioned the flying around. I'm going to start with the defense. Okay. Instead of the offense, we talked a lot about the offense over the last 24, 48 hours. What did you see in the Texas defense that you liked the most?
Up front, I love the way the D-line played. We stopped the run. We stoned the line of scrimmage. We took the air out of the gaps. They didn't get anything in the run game. And then the pass rush standpoint, our defensive line, interior defensive line, got tremendous push. That JT Daniels, I know he felt like he was in a phone booth all night. He had no wiggle room in there. And some of the throws he did make were incredible. He had arms and hands and people all around him. But we had a great push with the defensive line. A little better with the edge players, adequate. And then you move the linebackers. Obviously, Jalen Ford is playing lights out since the first week. Obviously, he had zero tackles the first week, and he's just been lights out. I think he had 14 tackles with seven of them being solos the other night. So I think he definitely follows Inside Texas, because I think he heard what we had to say that first week with him having zero tackles. He's just turned it on the last few weeks. So it's fun watching him play. You know, our star position, that we keep getting productivity out of that position, I think. Our corners contested a lot of balls. Even when they were caught, they were contested. And then I love the way our safeties are being physical. That when they come, they come. And they're delivering some blows, very physical. The ball's going to start popping out. It's going to happen. I mean, with the way we're running the ball, the way we're being physical, the way we're swarming, and the way we're contesting things, the ball's going to start coming out more often. And when it does, we're going to get on it.
You mentioned that Texas not getting a turnover for the second consecutive game. Didn't get one against Texas Tech either. But to your point, it's something that you've talked about really from the outset of this season, Brian, and that's the need to fly to the football. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other term that you used early on was compressing space.
Yes.
Do you feel like they did that a little bit better against West Virginia in the passing game?
I do.
Yeah, it felt like that maybe the linebackers, Jalen Ford in particular, is starting to get a better feel for pass coverage right now. Is that a sense you get?
Yeah, definitely getting guys in between throws, in between the quarterback and the receiver in zone drops. That's a huge component of pass defense. Just get between the quarterback and the receiver. Cut down that window. Make him make perfect throws. And then when we play a little bit tighter coverage and play some man stuff, you know, we were tight. We were on them. We were being aggressive. We were mixing it up early where you felt the aggression. You felt what I talked about last week. We got to be less patient, and we looked less patient Saturday.
Yeah, I think the coaches called the game less patient as well. I mean, I felt like they were out to win early, bringing six-man pressure, much more than what Pete Kwiatkowski is often known for. I do have another thought here. You mentioned the rush defense for the Longhorns. West Virginia running the ball 30 times for a grand total of 61 yards. Now, that includes three sacks, which they do that in college stats. They don't do that in pro stats. But still, it's no matter what, even if you include the sack yardage in, it's less than 2.5 yards a carry, I think. And so the Longhorn defense really bowed up a little bit. Mora Ojomo was back. Tavondre Sweat, Keandre Coburn, even Vernon Broughton, Alfred Collins got in on it a little bit. Byron Murphy, I thought, had another strong game. Strongest part of the defense, the defensive front, in your opinion?
I think so. I think they're setting the tone for stopping the run, compressing space, you know, taking the air out of those gaps, and then also getting great pressure on the quarterback in the passing game.
I want to ask you a question, just a little off topic, because I don't want to I'm happy that the young man is okay, but C.J. Donaldson, the young running back at West Virginia, went out in the game on Saturday night. He is now okay. He went back to West Virginia, moving all his extremities, all of that stuff. But you've been around football for 25, 30 years as a coach, and seen those sort of scenarios happen before. As a coach, what are you thinking about? I know everybody, the thoughts and prayers are with the young man as it's going on, right? Because, but you're also trying to refocus your team and make sure they keep playing. How do you manage? Because that's what I was thinking. Like, you're Steve Sarkisian. How do you manage that? Or Neil Brown.
Neil Brown,
You know, at West Virginia. How do you manage a difficult situation like that?
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I think you've got to be honest and open and transparent with your team for a brief second. You've got to show empathy. You've got to let your guard down. You've got to check out of the game for 30 seconds. And hey, guys, let's say a quick prayer for this young man. We hope he's going to be okay. Or, you know, a lot of times, as the head coach, I maybe knew the opponent kid or our kid was okay because I've already checked with the trainers, or you've talked to the other head coach very quickly. So you're able to reassure your team, hey, it's all precautionary. They're just being careful. He's good. He's moving all his extremities. He's got no neck issues, no back issues. We're just, just taking precaution. He's going to be fine. Let's say a prayer for him. Acknowledge the situation, and then we got to get back at it, you know?
Yeah. It just seems like it's gotta be difficult because you know, the fans were absolutely quiet. I mean, it quieted 100,000 people, right? Yeah. At a moment's notice. And the thing about football, it looked like an every down hit. Yeah. It did not look like anything special. And for that outcome, we hear it inside Texas, and I know all Texas fans are very happy that C.J. Donaldson's back in West Virginia and doing better today. Talk about the offense now, Brian. Hudson Card, strong game. Steve Sarkisian, I thought he called a good game. What were your overall thoughts about the offense?
I like the way Sark started the game, you know, again, setting Hudson up for success with some fairly easy throws, a lot of flat throws. I guarantee Oklahoma's looking at the hit chart, you know, today and seeing all the flat throws that were made, whether they're hit screens, bubble screens, flat throws to JT, flat throws to Roshan, Bijan. Got him some easy throws early on, and that was good. I also like the way we ran the football. It wasn't real dominant, but I think I talked about run efficiency last week, where run efficiency is getting 4 yards, getting a first down, or a touchdown. And we rushed for right around, 110 yards, I believe, and averaged a little over 4 yards a carry. We had, you know, a couple decent long runs. But what I was impressed with was the third downs and twos, third downs and threes. We hammered the ball in there, and we always got the first down by a half yard, by a full yard, whatever it was. Whereas the week before against Tech, it's third and three, we run the ball, and we get a yard and a half. And we weren't even close to converting. Saturday night, it's third and three, and we hammered it in there a number of times and picked up the first down. Bijan's falling forward. Roshan's falling forward, and we're getting it. I thought a big one was the first series of the second half. I believe we threw the ball twice on first and second down. It's third and three. And I'm like, we can't go three and out here. We've got to move the chains, give ourselves a chance to continue and extend this drive. And we hand it off just on a simple inside zone play. And Bijan gets 4 or 5 yards, and we move the chains, you know, on third and three. So I really like seeing us have the capability of running the football when it is third and three and a half or so.
Yeah, it was, because Texas, that was one of those things that as long-term observers of Texas and seeing what they did last year, where Texas sputtered a bunch in the third quarter, and what we saw again last week against Texas Tech, you wanted to see Texas come out and continue to control the football game in the second half. They had a 28-7 lead at that point, and then went on, I think, the very next play or the play after that, it was the long pass off the deflection off of Xavier Worthy. What were your thoughts overall on Hudson Card's night?
Oh, he played great. Again, he made the throws he should have made outside of three. He worked himself in the pocket. He's being coached tremendously. I mean, the growth he's made on handling himself in the pocket, what we call gap escapes, depending on where the pressure comes from, whether it's the A, the B, the C, or the D, you've got to move appropriately in the pocket, because you can't make a bad situation worse. And I see it all the time with quarterbacks that they escape wrong when they get pressure. He's now learning to escape correctly. He gets a C-gap press. He's stepping up. He's climbing the pocket. He climbs up in the pocket, maintains his passing posture, and makes that throw down the field. Whereas before, you know, if he moved in the pocket, you'd see the ball drop out of that passing posture immediately, almost kind of a panic situation, looking to run or looking to look somewhere else. And now he's maintaining his pocket presence as he moves in the pocket, steps up, climbs the pocket, makes that throw down the field. The three passes he loved to have back was actually one of them was completed to Roshan. It was just a bad pass. Roshan catches that thing in stride. He's down the sideline, may score. The same exact play in the second half, we ran to the left side, our left side, and it was just a bad pass. And again, if he would have hit Roshan, you know, on that little 12-yard wheel type route down the sideline, it would have been a huge play. And then the deep ball to Worthy. We've got to hit that. We can't miss that throw.
Yeah, I will say this, and this speaks to growth potentially, in my opinion. On all of those series, Texas still scored.
Yeah.
There are times where this Texas team in the past, and you know this, you miss a big opportunity like that pass to Worthy. He overthrew it by 10 yards, and he was open by 10 yards. Yeah. Right? There are times where Texas would have then gone, you know, they would have gotten off the field without scoring. Texas right. comes back and still scores. I credit not only Hudson Card with that, but also Steve Sarkisian's play calling. You know, JT Sanders had a big game. Xavier Worthy had a big game. That pass from Card to Worthy for the first touchdown, where Card stood in there and got the hit. He threw it really before Worthy, or right as Worthy was making his cut out of that. You mentioned Card getting better in the pocket. I think everybody agrees with that. He looked like a deer in the headlights against Arkansas last year,
right?
For example. So do you chalk that up to coaching or experience or a combination?
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
It's a combination, but he's being coached every single day. Gap escapes. That's probably their most strenuous part of their day as quarterbacks, I guarantee you, is putting the pressure on them to learn to make those gap escapes, throw it. Gap escape, throw it. And the appropriate gap escape, because there's so many. I mean, there's so many variables that's coming through the A or the B or the C or the D. And really working hard and trying to put them under pressure and then also make the throw down the field. But also the game time experience, you've got to be put in those positions, kind of screw it up, get coached from it on film and fix it the next time. So when we go to practice on Monday after we messed it up last week and coach is working on the same stuff, now understand why I'm doing what I'm doing. So it's an experience factor and it's a drill and practice thing.
Got it. Brian, I felt like one of the unsung heroes of the game was the offensive line. Outside of the sack given up on that stunt twist by Kelvin Banks, They kept Hudson Card relatively clean in the pocket and gave him time to throw downfield. They also, you mentioned the 110 yards rushing. In the fourth quarter, they were able to really just lay it down and run the clock out in that fourth quarter. Offensive line performance, in your opinion?
Yeah, solid. We're pass protecting very well. I thought we moved the line of scrimmage much better Saturday than we did the week before. And I just see us improving. I see the improvement that the team's making, and that's what it takes. That's what it takes. Every single unit has to be accountable, put the onus and the pressure on themselves so that the team gets, just a little bit better every single week.
All right. Longhorns now 3-2, beat West Virginia 38-20. I got a couple of tough questions for you now. I don't know how tough they are though for you. All right. Hudson Carr now started, played three games in three quarters. Okay. Quinn Ewers has one game and one quarter in his hip pocket, and you're getting ready to go play OU in the Cotton Bowl. If Quinn Ewers is healthy, is he your quarterback on Saturday?
It depends how healthy he is. And we won't really know that. I would probably say he's no way he's 100% healthy, So I would guess he's going to be 85%, 85 to 90. If that was the case, I would probably be prepared to play both quarterbacks and have a plan. That's my game plan, and I'm going with it. And be very aggressive with Hudson, maybe even Hudson in the run game, and then be able to play Ewers with the conventional style offense that Sark wants to play. But I could see him playing both guys.
Yeah, it's interesting because Dylan Gabriel, the OU quarterback, potentially out, suffering what looked like a concussion against TCU. If that's the case, OU, from an offensive standpoint, may be a little handicapped compared to what they were expecting. But do you take that chance and play a guy that's only played five quarters in the biggest rivalry game of the year? I think everybody would say before this game, everybody would have looked at it and said, oh, you definitely start Ewers. He opens up the offense. Yeah. Now they've seen Hudson win two games, lose by a field goal in two others, right?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of give and take there. I don't know what I would do. I think it's kind of like, well, let's see how they practice this week.
Yeah. It's going to depend on how healthy he is, Quinn. If he's close to 100, he's probably the guy. I don't see him being close to – I see him more like 85 and relatively pain-free. And let him go and let's do this thing. But, they're not going to – I don't think they're going to take into fact what OU has and what OU's problems are. It's kind of like match play in golf. I'm expecting we're expecting the very best from Oklahoma. We're gonna prepare our game plan based on who we know can lead us to victory.
Brian, you've walked out that tunnel before at this game. This is gonna be the last question I have for you tonight. You've walked out the tunnel. You know what it's like to be in the Cotton Bowl playing OU. Give folks that have never been on the field or never been to that game even a sense of what you see when you go out there as a player, coach, et cetera.
It's unbelievable. And I tell you, it starts today. When those players walk in the facility and Boomer Sooner's playing, and I assume it's still playing like it did, you know, when we were there. It's Boomer Sooner all day, every day, while you're getting dressed, while you're getting taped, while you're walking in, out, it doesn't matter. Boomer Sooner's blaring inside that facility. And you're so sick of hearing that song. And so that's kind of where it starts. But I tell you what, when you come out of that tunnel, it is unbelievable when both teams are coming down that thing. And I a couple times got stuck in between the teams. We were coming out first, OU's right behind us, and I'm stuck in the middle. And I didn't have a helmet, shoulder pads on. I was a student assistant coach, and I mean, there's fists flying and spit flying, and it's a war. It is a war. And then you get down to the bottom of that tunnel and you look up, and half of it's red, half of it's burnt orange, and it's unbelievable. There's nothing like it. And I think the last thing I would say is that game, being a part of that game for 4 years, and we won all 4 years. I was a student assistant in the GA. That game probably helped prepare me to be a coach more than any game I ever was a part of. I remember Daryl Royal addressing maybe that first team that we had when I was there with Coach McWilliams, and he talked about it's a game of momentum. It's just such a huge game of momentum, and you got to be able to handle the momentum swings. And when you get it, you got to try to keep it. And when you lose it, you got to try to wrestle it back away. And the team that ends up with momentum ends up winning that game. But there's so many momentum swings, learning how to deal with that and wrestle it away or keep it. Just tremendous learning, lesson experience for me as a young guy. I carried that on. I talked about that Texas OU game many, many, many times over the next 20 years I was a head football coach, dealing with those big championship games and dealing with momentum and how you got to fight for it and wrestle for it. So it's an unbelievable rivalry. It's an unbelievable – there's nothing like it. And our guys will be jazzed up.
Mac Brown told me one time, I think at that point he'd coached like 10 years in that game, 15 years in that game. And he told me, I don't know that we ever won a game or lost a game where we didn't win in the trenches. Mm-hmm. You agree with that statement?
Oh yeah. It's a physical game. Your offensive line's got, you know, you got to be able to run the football. That's obviously what they did to us last year in the second half. We couldn't stop the run. And you've got to win the line of scrimmage, both sides of the football, defensive line stopping the run, putting pressure on the quarterback. But, you know, I mean, we've seen it all. We've seen punt returns, kickoff returns, big long passes, crazy long passes last year that we should have prevented, you know, and we were right there. We were there to make the play. Their kid just made the play instead of ours. But there's so many things that go into it. But I like where we stand right now. And
at Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
We can't worry about OU's status, their quarterback, they're this, they're that, they're 0-2 in conference play, they're not playing well. We can't worry about that. Our coaches and our kids are focused on Texas becoming the best version of themselves this week, getting, you know, 2 or 3% better from last week, and go out there and just dominate the game.
Yeah. Big game coming on Saturday. I can already hear the excitement in your voice. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It's a little contagious.
Awesome. It's awesome.
Here we are. It's Monday, and Coach is ready for Saturday already. All right. That was this episode of Lunch with the Coach. Lunch with the Coach is brought to you by accomplished Austin realtor Laura Baker. Laura and the Andy Allen team at Keller Williams can handle all of your real estate needs in the Austin area. Laura is not only a diehard Longhorn fan, but a longtime Austin real estate expert. For Brian Irwin, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been this episode of Lunch with the Coach. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.